Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you are listening to Live from the Path. We're coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. It's good to be with you tonight. I would say I appreciate you hanging out, but I don't know if that's true. I don't know how long you've been sitting there.
It could be a very little amount of time.
Hopefully not long. All right, here's the deal. Here's what we got. We got to get moving. We got too much stuff to do here, boys. Here's what we got on the show tonight. First of all, let me say this. If you missed out on the Live from the Path buffet night at the Buffet City.
Oh, buddy.
That was good.
It was.
The food was all right. Yeah. I mean, it's a buffet, but it was an excellent turnout. The Eisenhower's there. I love the Eisenhower's.
Yeah, it was triple Eisenhower. It was awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a reason. Like, you find us overjoyed to say our show is sponsored by Bob Eisenhower and the Eisenhower team. Those guys are just awesome. So
I'm gonna tell you this though. Bill Eisenhower came back to the table with this dessert. He took a soup bowl and then just filled it with desserts. And I thought, heck yeah, I got to get down on this
thing.
He's
a champion.
So me and the 7-year-old daughter, we went out and did the exact same thing. It was the best move I ever made. You fill it with the pudding, and then you put cookies and stuff in it, and some of them raspberry bananas or whatever. It was the best food I ever had. It was fantastic.
It looked pretty good.
Yeah.
It looked pretty good. I ate a number of iffy items, but I feel like we were talking about this at the buffet. Like, people say you only live once, but in the kingdom of Jesus, you really just go on forever, which means now is the time to eat that salted octopus or whatever they got out on the deal.
Yeah.
You might as well give it a rumble. It was all right.
People have died for worse things.
all right. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. So, hey, keep an eye out. It's generally going to show up on Twitter, and we'll probably do it every couple months. So if you see Live from the Path, throw it a Live from the Path buffet night.
Yeah.
Just come on out.
You can meet Pete when he comes out.
Yeah, Pete. Pete, a great friend of the show. Pete's out there. In fact, if you follow us on Twitter, you'll get to know Pete.
Yeah.
Pete does a better job of summarizing our show and highlighting the decent parts.
Yes.
So, all right. Anyway, here's what we got going on the show tonight. Booba's got some questions from a new believer. Can you give me a preview on that, Booba?
Well, so it's about our identity. Not our identity of ourselves within Christ, but more of our identity as someone who's going to church now, someone who identifies with a church. More about questions of different denominations and questions about all of the kinds of denominations that are out there.
Great.
So, a small question. Who am I?
Yeah, exactly. Just very small question that we probably won't spend a lot of time on. That's who am I and where do I fit in this in the entire universe?
This is going to be fine.
Just really small.
Okay,
really small.
Questions from a new believer. We got that. Dave Herrick has got some Pope style advice, and we missed this last week. We prefaced that we were going to do a what's Jesus talking about, and we didn't get to it. So we're going to hit that up this week. And Mike, how about we got some advice on Dear Life from the Path? What's it smelling like this week?
Yeah, listen, there are a couple questions that I don't remember off the top of my head, but they seem pretty rough.
It's the top of the line program.
Back to you, Ben.
This just in.
All right.
Mike with the weather.
Here's the deal. Here's generally what happens, all right? Like, we've done poorly here, but there's people here that can save the show. And I don't mean to put it all on your shoulders, JC, but, like, we need you to rescue the program from what it normally is. And luckily, I feel pretty confident in this. From having heard JC before she came in here and talked to her before the show started, I feel like she can pull it out of the weeds and back into the clouds.
Absolutely.
All right, so this is JC. JC, thank you so much for coming on Live from the Path.
Thanks for having me.
So you're here from in the you're from Norwalk, so in the Des Moines area. But I've been seeing you traveling back and forth between here and Nashville lately. So tell me a little bit about your experience in Nashville.
Yeah, well, I have gone down to Nashville. This is my second time. I just got back last Friday for this year so far, and I work with a group down there called Lighthouse Music. And so when I go down there, This past time I did a little recording. I did some writing sessions with, if you watch The Voice, I wrote with Tanya Reynolds, who was on season 4. So that was pretty cool. I've never done that before. And then I just played a bunch of shows. I played the Bluebird Cafe, which was pretty awesome. That's a pretty popular place down there, and just a bunch of different places.
So maybe this is a bit of a wonky question, but like, when you're writing with someone else, like, what is that circumstance like? Because here's what I think. Because I think you got two people that write songs, and they just come into a big open room, and you stare at each other for a while. But I'm guessing it doesn't actually go like that.
I always envisioned it
no,
as
it was
a fight.
Kinda like that.
Yeah, me too.
It was like that.
Yeah, it was my first time, so it was like a little strange, but I mean, she was like a talkative person, so it made it better, but you kind of just have to like sit there and like think of it, like if you're going to start from scratch, you just kind of have to like sit there for a bit and try to think of like a thing to write about, you know? So
I think that would be really hard to do, because I'd be like, check out this idea, and they'd say, I hate that. I say, well, I think it's awesome. I guess this session is over.
You're not a good collaborator, Mike.
Yeah, so far I haven't written in tunes.
My idea is like I've already been done. I got this idea about this yellow submarine. They're like, no.
Dan's like, check this out. A do run, run, run.
Yeah,
what do you think?
It has a nice little beat to it. Yeah, never mind.
So let's do this. I want to find out more about you, but let's let you introduce yourself with a song. So the first one that we have is Where I've Made My Bed. So tell me a little bit about that song.
Well, this song's, I mean, for me, it's kind of about just like sticking to what you're doing in life. For me, I didn't take the traditional path after high school. I spent a year in Mexico doing missions work, and I do music, which isn't the traditional thing to do. And so, I mean, there's a lot of times people just don't understand, you know, why you do the things you do. But it's the song is just kind of about just sticking to what you do, because, you know, God has a different plan for everybody. So you just got to stick with it no matter what people say.
Sweet. Sweet. Well, I'm ready to hear it. This is Where I've Made My Bed with JC. You're listening to Live from the Path.
You come talking, what are you wanting? All I'm hearing is a nonsensical string of words. Voices, crowd in my head, when the static noise is dead. I lay down where I've made my bed, oh, oh, where I've made my bed, oh, 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 oh. Ooh, ooh. Now you're dancing around the meaning, what are you saying, cause it's sugar-coated, sparkling, say it, what you're thinking, cause no matter what you've said, I lay down where I've made my bed, oh, whoa, where I've made my bed, oh, 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 oh. There comes a time when you got to make a choice about what you're gonna do and what you're gonna be. There'll always be someone tell you you're doing wrong. Honey, follow what I've said. I lay down where I've made my bed. Oh, oh, where I've made my bed. Oh, 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 oh. Ooh.
I love that song.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
So, can people buy that?
Soon. I just actually recorded that last week when I was down in Nashville, so that'll be on my next EP, which doesn't have a release date yet.
Mike tried to hold my hand.
I tried and failed. I got a wrist. I'm sure that's happened to everybody at least once.
It's a moving song.
It is. It is. Very cool.
Yeah.
Here's the deal is like, I feel like it's one of those tunes that you can live life to. You know what I'm saying? Where other tunes have to, like, they take you away to escape you to a different area. And, like, for some reason, I feel like I don't know. I feel like I could do something to that tune. I'm not sure what. I could either rob a bank or just kind of walk down the street. It could go either way.
No, right. It does kind of come off. I suppose you could twist it to be the apologetic for robbing a bank.
Yeah.
It's where I made my bet. It's what I have.
I mean, can't you see it like at the end of a TV show or something? And you just show a guy and they're panning out of the cell. And he's just kind of looking at his feet, you know? It's where I made my bet.
He's made the tough decisions, but they're the right ones.
Yeah. You know, who manages you? I feel like we can do this.
I feel like that's going to be my moseying down the street when it's like really dark out and I'm only lit up by streetlights song. Like, that's going to be my walking song.
Here's what we're going to do, Buva. I'm going to set up one of the webcams at the end of the show, and I just need you to walk towards the stairwell.
I can do that.
And we can work this thing out.
So sometimes when I get a chance to come on the show and I sit here and I listen to some of the artists that come on here, I'm kind of moved at the fact that I have absolutely no talent. And I really can't do anything that's impressive in this world.
These are all true.
And that was just one of those times when I'm just like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I was right earlier. I'm terrible.
I should leave. I have no reason to be in this room right now. Like, I legitimately have nothing to add to that. You have an absolutely incredible voice. That was amazing.
I agree. It was awesome.
I dug on the entire tune. I was sitting here smiling, trying just not to look goofy. I'm just like, awesome. So, nice job.
It tickles my beard.
I'm like, ooh.
Okay, so.
Oh, wait, that's toothpaste.
Hey, at least I brushed my teeth. We're good.
That explains that awkward dentist visit I had. Higher, son, higher. So, understandably, people are going to want more information about how to find more about you. Where can they go?
Well, I have an official website, which is jcofficial.com. But if you want more like up-to-date stuff, you can follow me on Facebook. I update that website the most.
Cool. And here's the deal. We like JC. Life in the Path likes JC. So if you can find our page, look what we like, because we like her. And then you can find her page very, very easy. And make sure you like that page. You can keep up with what's going on. She also has a Twitter account, and you can follow that. And just kind of keep an eye on what's going on. You can get the news of when this upcoming EP is rolling out. That seems exciting. Very, very cool. All right, so tell me a little about, you said you did some mission work after school. So tell me a little bit about that. Where did you go and what were you doing?
Yeah, about a week or two after I graduated high school, I left for Tijuana, Mexico, and I worked at a ministry called Mexico Caravan Ministries. And what it is, it's a missions mobilization ministry, but we build houses as well. So that's what we do in the community. But the groups that come down, we really just push and teach them about missions work and God's calling for us to be missionaries, whether we go or we send, and being missionaries here in the United States as well as overseas. So we had so many like great speakers. Like, if you've ever heard of the Buzers from Papua New Guinea, like, they all speak down there. And Eddie Passmore is the director of it, and he's an amazing speaker. So I spent a year down there, built a ton of houses, more like shacks, though. They're just like little sheds is what we build.
Right.
But, I mean, they're houses. And yeah, I met a lot of great people.
So, like, I mean, you were doing the work of like putting the houses and stuff together.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. So, like, did you injure yourself?
Were
there any serious complications to house building in Tijuana?
I didn't have any like major injuries. The only thing I can really think of was one time a group member, I was like lifting a wall up after it was already like sheeted and everything.
Yeah.
And I had my fingers underneath of it and they pulled it. And so my fingers got like stuck underneath two walls. Yeah.
Hey, man. Nice to
know.
Skinned them a little bit.
That's what happened to Hoffa.
I'm sure. Out of context, that's a very Hulk story you've told. So when I was in Tijuana lifting a wall with my bare hands, somebody dropped two walls upon my fingers, and I was mildly irritated.
Exactly. And my uncle, George the Animal Steel, came by to help.
I would definitely keep telling that story. That's an awesome story. So what was there like a set amount of time you were going to be down there, or like what brought you back?
Well, as like an intern down there, you can spend up to a year down there. So there's like a set time limit. So I did spend almost the full year. I had to leave a little bit early for music stuff, but spend about a full year down there.
Hmm. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool stuff. Have you guys, any of the other guys been involved in any type of like house building and stuff, mission type work?
Built a fence in South Dakota once.
Okay, that's cool.
It was like,
wait,
it was
for mission work or just
yes,
like your own
mission
up
work?
There?
We went as a group here at Pathway. We went up to South Dakota to the Rosebud Indian Reservation, and then helped build I don't even know what the square foot of the walls was, or excuse me, how big the wall was. But
it was big.
It was enormous because we were covering an entire property.
I think it's important to nail down the square footage, Bubba. If we're going to talk about a fence in South Dakota, I feel
just
like
saying,
you're going to have to
it was
tell
in
me.
The miles.
I'll figure it out.
Do you know it in hectares?
In
that's how I understand that.
In hectares, I would say it was 6.3 hectares.
Oh, man, that's a beast fence.
Yeah, it was massive.
Yeah, that's almost the whole state.
I did post driving for like 2 days and then couldn't lift my arms. It was fun.
Oh, good, good. Fruitful.
It was nothing nearly as Hulk as that. I didn't like catch a wall.
No, that's true. Your story sounds way worse compared to her story. Her story sounds awesome.
Yeah,
I put up a fence. Yeah.
That's what I said. I literally have no reason to be in this room. She's the good person in the
Actually,
room. I need to leave.
It was made out of PVC.
Exactly. By wall, I meant I put some Lincoln logs up. I was pretty excited about it.
I spray painted the word fence on the ground and said the animals will respect this.
Ain't no kids gonna run past this.
In the beginning, there was the word, and the word is fence. Stay in here.
All right. Dan, did you build any walls in China?
No, we painted an orphanage.
Okay, that's cool.
The visitors and schools and stuff.
I set you up, Dan. You're supposed to say, no, actually, they had a pretty great wall there.
Oh, that was pretty
I
good.
Do all the work. I do
I
all this work.
It.
Yeah, that's because maybe four people that will ever listen to this show will find that funny.
We were too busy doing mission work to see the walls. I never saw it.
Was that a great wall set up?
Hey, man, did Ben just make a great wall pun? Well done, Ben.
Not a pun. All right. All right, so here's the deal. We're gonna JC's gonna hang around. We're gonna learn more from her. We're gonna hear some more tunes, and so but here's the deal. But there is gonna be some show in between that. So if you want to amuse yourself with something that is entertaining, you can find her. She's got music out on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and the like. And also visit her website. Take a look around, and there's beautiful pictures of her, beautiful music on the website. And there's probably gonna be another 15 minutes of show in which you can divert yourself with other things. So if you want to do that, that's perfectly fine. All right, but what do you got? You have questions for New Believer. Hit me.
So questions from the New Believer this week. I've had this conversation with a couple people, not a whole lot, but I've also had the conversation with others for myself also. In the church, in the body of Christ, there are a lot of identifiers that someone who does not know a lot about the church will have to get used to. And I mean specifically with denominations. I think that I ran into this a little bit, and I sometimes still do, but how important is it for me to know about the different denominations in the church today, about the different, you know, the Baptist, Presbyterian, the Catholic Church, you know, all the different denominations that are out there, or at least general or major denominations, how important is it for me to know what each one thinks, what the different views are, for me to be able to identify myself as a Christ follower? How important is it for me to be able to say, I know what that person is, and I know what they believe in, and I know what I am, and I know what I believe in? Is it something that's that important? Is it something I should just throw away and then just focus on the Bible? What do you guys think?
Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is it's or 1 is it's not important and 10 is it's very important, I'm going to come in somewhere in -3.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I wish I knew less.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I agree. Yeah.
I
mean, like, let's start with the premise that we're all trying to follow Jesus.
Okay.
And we'll go from there. I don't think there's any reason to start with the box.
Mm-hmm. I think it only matters if you're, like, moving to a community and going to attend that particular body, you kind of want to know what they really believe.
Okay.
But
so the questions that I've gotten more specifically to me have been, you know, hey, I'm new in the church and I'm confused about which one I should choose. You know, I want to follow Christ and I want to get involved in that. And I believe in God and I'm really starting to understand it a little bit more. And I'm reading my Bible, you know, which is the best one is questions I've been asked before. You know, what one makes the most sense? Where should I identify myself? Does it matter? Is non-denominational better than denominational? Excuse me. You know, what advice would you give to that person specifically? Because I think we can answer it with a no, it's not important. But what would you tell that person that's asking you, hey, what should I do with me trying to identify with one of those churches?
I always answer, I don't know. I feel like that straightens right up. And they'll say, what do you mean? I say, I'm not sure. They say, well, what denomination is your church? I'm like, I have no idea. And then you just stare at them blankly and leave an awkward silence. And eventually they'll stop asking.
Okay. Anyone else have any other advice?
A little more helpful, perhaps.
Possibly staring
life's
at them.
Problems by Mike.
I think if you're honestly, you know, following Christ in the Bible, you're sincerely wanting to follow Him, you'll be able to sniff that out fairly quickly. I mean, you'll because I mean, sad to say, there are some bodies that have the word church on it that really don't really believe that much in Jesus, or that's just reality. But you'd figure that out pretty quick, I think. I mean, rather than make vast judgments, you know, over entire denominations, that's not all that healthy either.
Yeah, I mean, really, what it's getting at is pursue Jesus and then hang around people you like.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you do that, I feel like you're going to be fine. And the truth is that at times, as you pursue Jesus, the people that you hang around might change a little, depending on where they're at. They might. And if you're in a place that doesn't like line up with what you feel like the Bible is teaching, you'll find yourself moving away from that and seeking community where people are pursuing Jesus. It's just the nature of your life changes as you spend your life pursuing Christ. You end up doing it within His community. And so I really do think that stuff kind of filters itself out. As you live, you'll start to pick up and understand where some differences come in just through conversations that you have. I know enough to know basic things. And I would agree with Herrick. Like, I don't know that I need to know any more. And frankly, I'd be willing to give up some of the stuff I do know because it doesn't do anything. It doesn't ever bring me closer to Jesus to know where a guy's coming from off the bat. Because you know what I'd rather do is, like, there might be a system of theology that he buys into, but I don't know to what level. There's things I agree with that you wouldn't consider my theology, the basic things that I believe, but I can agree with some of it because some of it accurately reflects Christ. And so it only can potentially lead me in the wrong direction as opposed to actually dealing with someone's faith, like their relationship with Christ. And so I'd rather just start there. And the box doesn't help me provide any more definition. It just presents the opportunity for me to be on a wrong road to understand them. Okay. So that's how I put it, is that it is confusing to look out and say if all these things exist under the one book. I think that's a completely reasonable question for someone who's just getting to know Christ to say, what is it? I don't even understand why all these things are here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the right answer is to say, look, let's pursue Jesus. We are followers of Jesus. That's what we're pointing to. So let's get to understand Him and then find someone you know and join them and be in that community. And then just like things will filter out. Things will fall and start to put you in the right place. Understanding that like Dan said, I mean, there are simple places that aren't teaching Christ, but it's not going to take but a Sunday or two or a meeting or two to recognize that like they don't follow Jesus here.
Yeah. I used to play basketball with a guy who was a pastor, and he was from a name brand that you know you would trust and say, hey, that's cool, you know. And one day we're talking after playing ball, and he goes, we don't really believe the Bible so much. He's talking about himself personally and his wife, and I'm like, wow. And miracles, the resurrection never really happened. I thought, well, he just kind of stepped away from being my brother in Christ. He's a dude who teaches something. But if you can't even agree on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we've kind of parted ways a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. I would assume that would come through in somehow.
You're going to figure that out, right?
Yeah.
If you're the tenet of their faith, we don't really. In fact, when we say following Jesus, we don't really mean that.
Yeah.
I feel like you're going to pick that up.
Yeah, you pick that up pretty quick.
and like I just don't know. I didn't come to the relationship or where I'm at right now with Jesus with a denominational view in mind. I couldn't have told you for the first 3 years or whatever where we're at, what are even if there was a system of the beliefs at the church I'm at, it was just we follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And I mean it's for practical purposes, there's orientations around belief systems. I get that. It's just it doesn't get any better because you understand it more. We'll put it that way. And so don't feel this burden as if you have to understand it better. Let's just follow Jesus.
Okay.
That stuff shakes out.
So realize that your identifier should be with Christ.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be you trying to fit into a box. It should be falling more in love with Christ and then eventually finding a group of believers who you can be like-minded with or at least be able to be challenged through and then grow in your faith.
Yeah, yeah. And as you go through that process, the thing is like you're going to meet people throughout your whole life who have varying degrees of familiarity or understanding or relationship with Christ, and they're either going to be wrong, blind, or with you. And either of those steps have healthy reactions. And so, I mean, everybody is an opportunity to have community, for you to grow, for them to grow, for people to know Jesus better. And so, like, the truth is, it's not an elimination thing. It may be where you culture yourself, right? Like, if you're culturing, trying to grow in your relationship with Christ, you're going to do that around a different group of people than you're just mingling with to try to get to know and have fellowship and stuff. But everybody's still a person. They still have a Savior, and either they know that, or they don't know that clearly, or they know it strongly. And so, you know, all that's still an opportunity. It's not never a cutting off. It is just a, what do I know, and how much of that do I let inform what it is that I believe and want to know.
Okay, I like it.
What about Facebook quizzes? Don't you feel like I can take a Facebook quiz?
So coming into the faith, we say, hey, have you taken your Facebook denominational quiz?
I'm an Episcopalian.
No, I have not yet. Okay.
Yeah, shoot. How did that? Didn't we? We tried that, right?
Most of us landed on Lutheran.
I was going to say most of us were Lutheran.
Except for Dan.
What was Dan? Was Presbyterian, wasn't he?
I was like Episcopalian something. It was something.
Dan was
Anglican,
a Seventh-day Adventist.
Of course, they didn't have any, like, they only had, like, five to choose from. I mean, you know, they just...
Choose your entire denomination based off the following five questions, where one puts you in this category or the other category.
I kept retaking it, answering different questions differently, and it's like...
Dan tried to cheat his way in the first.
He was like, how do I get to Lutheran with the rest of it? I don't want to be in this one alone. Wait, does that mean I have to disagree with everyone now? I think that going forward, I'm going to go ahead and tell everyone, hey, you know, when you have these kind of questions, realize that Facebook has a great way for you to find your way in your new – no, obviously.
Yeah. Facebook has developed a lot of algorithms that can help you understand
exactly.
God.
Exactly. Yeah. Would you like to know more about your faith and your spiritual life? Well, look up Facebook.
Actually,
we've
turns
got
out
the right
quiz
for you.
I have a lot in line with the planet Pluto as well. So I am a Pluto Episcopalian. So does that define me or what?
They Sabbath on Wednesday. Good luck.
Ah, crap.
I'm busy Wednesday. All right. Hey, you're listening to Life from the Path. You can catch us during the week at lifefromthepath.org when you have complaints in the show, and I hear you. I mean, I've heard the show myself. I'd complain, but it's to me, and I don't have a lot of temperament for my own complaints. But if you have problems with the show, shoot us an email at info@lifefromthepath.org. If you really like the show, you should congratulate JC because she pulled it out of the weeds. Otherwise, your feedback seems illegitimate to me. Big thanks to our sponsors, Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower team. Like I said, they joined us at the buffet tonight. I love those guys. They're in the real estate business, and they're awesome at it. And so if you have any real estate questions, go to EisenhowerTeam.com. They got listings out there. You can just ask them, is this the right time to buy or sell a house? Talking to Bob, it sounds like it's a really good time to do
it. Interest rates are low.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a realtor. I don't take anything I say worth that. But that's why you call Bob. We have a Bob for a reason.
Exactly.
So give Bob a call or John or Bill. Like, those guys are just great, and they know what they're doing. And they have a cube van.
They have a sweet cube van.
Awesome.
Here's what we were talking to Bill Eisenhower, and he said that they made him stop driving it. Like, he was driving it around town all the time, sucking up company gas. Now, he's the company, right? So it's his gas money.
His face is on the side of the van.
Yeah. But, like, he likes driving that cube van around. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Westfield Veterinary Hospital. Go to westfieldvethospital.com. You can set up those appointments online. Mike, did you get your cat out of there?
Yeah, Freedom. Freedom right up.
How's it doing?
One-eyed Mabel back at the house.
Does it seem to be doing all right?
Well, here's the deal. It's annoying.
What do you mean?
And I knew that going into this thing, but I love the ladies at my house, and I said, sure, we'll take this one-eyed cat. But then I try to hug on my wife, and then I say, she has a hairy back. No, she doesn't. That cat's back there hanging around her like she's her new best friend. So now I'm fighting for attention.
That's rough times.
I'm an Episcopalian.
From Pluto.
Okay. All right. Did they do fine work, Mike?
They did a fantastic job, actually. They were way cool about it. They explained everything to me. For the state that we found that cat in, it fixed it up brand new. I mean, apart from the eye still missing, but I mean, you know.
You can only do so much, right?
I mean, you can put a fake eye in, but I'm cheap and I don't want to do it.
Hey, seriously, do people put fake eyes in animals?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
That sounds creepy as all get out.
Yeah.
Oh,
like if your cat had a fake eye.
Yeah. They said so you can put it on remote control and then control it so it looks like it follows the other eye.
No.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Is there an app for that?
I don't know if that last part's true, but that's cool.
I should have remote control if I do it.
We should make the animatronic RC cat eye app. Like, that's what we're going to sell and make our billions on.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's billions in that market.
Hey, man, I'm an over-exaggerator, okay? I'm also 7'2".
I'll take one.
I feel like I'd put it in my mouth. Little maneuver around. Okay, that example doesn't play on the radio, but it was awesome in studio.
Hey, actually, that'd be cool if you could roll it around the house. Look at it.
I think you guys are moving to a much different.
Hey, there's billions in that. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice,
hey,
Beetlejuice.
There's a rolling eye in here. Yeah, that's fine. It belongs to the cat. Anyway, that's Westfield Veterinary Hospital. They'll be sponsoring the show for at least the next month. all joking aside, they're great at what they do. They're honest. They love your pets just as much as you do, if not more. And so if you ever have any veterinary needs and you're in the Johnston area, it's definitely the place to go.
Yeah, definitely. All right, now that we've ruined the show again, JC, we need your help. We're going to bring this thing back around. So you were talking about recording a new album. Like, is there a tell us a little bit about it. Is there something like a theme to it? Like, what have you been writing songs about? Like, what's been on your mind?
Well, when I write, I mean, I don't really have like one specific theme that I really stick to. I mean, I usually just write about things that are happening in my life, and so I mean, it's all different, really. So none of my songs, like, they're not all the same.
Yeah.
They're all about different things. So I mean, at this point, I don't have a theme at all for my next album. It's just a bunch of different songs about my life, or just like things that are happening in, you know, my friends and family's life.
Yeah.
Sometimes I write about that stuff too. So it's a big bag of mixed up stuff.
I think that's awesome. It's a wide breadth of what's happening with JC.
Yeah,
I think that's cool. So
I would say the next song might have something to do about a bad radio program.
No, that's possible.
It'll be a hit.
Or rolling eye. Hey. Trademark, JC. Don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got billions riding on this eye thing. Let's not overdo it. Speaking of stuff that's coming up on the next EP, so tell me a little bit about the song Hey Hey.
So I recorded this back in January while I was in Nashville. And so it's going to be my next single. Don't have a date for it yet, but it will be my next single. And this is just, I mean, it's just a song. It's not like about me, but it's about that, you know, that kind of guy that, you know, is really bad for you, but you keep letting into your life.
Like, and like Pluto Episcopalians.
Exactly.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. So that's what the song's about.
All right, cool. Well, this is Hey, Hey, you're listening to JC on Live from the Path.
Coffee and paper cups, late night talks trying to sweeten me up. Moonlight hits the window pane. Full moon brings a light, all your games. Hey, hey. Hey, hey. The touch of your fingertips. So much said with a touch of skin as you start to pull me in. I can hear my gut screaming, hey, 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 hey. Don't tell me it's wrong.
Hey, man, I really like that one, but I could not personally relate to it like I could the last one.
Hey, man, that makes me sad, because I was just about to say, hey, I really like that, and I could totally relate to that.
I've never had a fella treat me wrong. I haven't had it happen to me.
I suppose I didn't take it from the perspective of a fella treating
me
wrong.
Hey, we don't have to spill your beans here, but that's fine.
Fair enough.
Things are fine. Don't forget, you can find the stuff that we like, Stacey, with her face. We follow her on track. We're following you for .com, and you can find information about her. And you can pick up her music. Remember, you can get it on iTunes, Amazon, stream it on Spotify. Hey, now if you be streaming on Spotify, you dig on it and then you purchase.
Yes, sir.
All right, friend.
My grandma's had enough of your thievery.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I really dig on Spotify because it helps me remind. It reminds me of songs that I really like, and then I will go buy them. What did I listen to? Hey, you know, I like the Crash Test Dummies. You might remember the Crash Test Dummies.
Yeah.
So because everything that guy sings is in my range, I have like a 6-note range. That's where I'm at.
What the heck? That sounded like a bovine romantic comedy.
I'm pretty sure we didn't hear those 6 notes.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what happened.
You sound like a guy that fell over a chair.
There's a song that the Crash Test Dummies do called God Shuffled His Feet.
Yeah.
Have you heard that song?
Yeah.
It's the weirdest song ever.
Yeah,
it's them talking about how God wants picnics and there's some guy with blue hair. Like, it's a really weird song.
It's funky.
All right. I was going to text you guys about it, but I was driving, and Herrick gets upset when I text while driving. Mm-hmm. So I decided against it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
Hey, here's the deal. Actually, I listened to a couple of JC's songs on Reverb Nation.
Oh, yeah.
And I find that was a great place to preview the thing a little bit. So if you want to go check the music out, it's there too, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. Very, very cool. Boy, so you have no idea when this record's coming out?
Here's the deal. We're going to have a real problem. People are going to ask us all the time.
Recording it.
Yeah.
I mean, can you finish it like tomorrow?
Yeah.
No.
Is it because you're lazy?
Like, is it because you're maybe,
lazy
you know?
Or?
Okay. What's he talking about?
So Jesus is telling a story about these two guys, and it seems like Jesus doesn't like the religious guy. So I don't know what to infer of this other than maybe Jesus doesn't like you pastors. I think that's what we take away.
Crap.
So here's the story, and I'm just wondering, what's Jesus talking about? So he's telling a story. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other one was a tax collector. The Pharisee was standing by himself. He prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector here.
Amen.
I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. He beat his chest, and he said, God, please be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified. He was in right step with God, rather than the other man. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So what's going on with this? What's Jesus trying to get at with this story? Any thoughts, guys?
Would you like the Episcopalian point of view?
Yes, please. The Pluto style, if you will.
Maybe my rudimentary hearing of that story, but like, I always got God saying, look, I control exaltation here in heaven, both in heaven and on earth. And I make things what they are. And so when you put yourself, it's like that same parable he told with the guy who puts himself in the place of honor, only that you should be kicked out and booted later. Like, how embarrassing, you know? And like, he's almost given the same point here. It's like, if your goal in life is to exalt yourself and your own kingdom, you will get your due reward, which is I will have to boot you back down to where you originally came from.
Right. So, go ahead, Bubba.
Well, so you have to look at the heart behind each prayer. So the heart behind the Pharisee's prayer is that he wants to be seen. He wants to be heard wholeheartedly saying how great he is. He really doesn't say anything great about God. He comments about how great he is in comparison to everyone else and how he's better than the people around him. And his heart is in lifting himself up. And that's not what prayer should be for. Whereas the tax collector is humbled in his prayer and understands that he has done wrong. He has sin in his life and issues in his life, and he's shamed enough in that to not even stare at heaven or even look up to heaven. But he's being humble and honest in his reaction of, I stand before a God that fully knows everything about me, and I am nothing compared to him. And I'm going to act as such, and I'm not even going to be able to look up, and I'm going to beat my chest out of anger or out of regret or whatever it was, emotionally acting out in that way, because he fully understands who he's speaking to and is almost honoring that God through that reaction. The Pharisees just doing it for the looks of everyone else.
Well, I mean, that's the deal. It's like, who do you agree with in the circumstance? The humble man agrees with God and how God sees him. The Pharisee just agrees with himself.
Yeah.
So then
yeah.
you're left with a basic choice to say, who would I rather agree with, myself or God?
Well, I can't be trusted, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, I ate a spicy octopus at the buffet. I make poor decisions in life.
There's no record of Jesus eating a spicy octopus.
Mike makes a good point. If the Pharisee was trying to lift himself up before the eyes of man, but the tax collector was making sure that he humbled himself before the eyes of God.
Yeah, and as much as a guy can have a perspective of who God really is, like the humble guy is showing that, right? Like you have an odd perspective of God where you feel like you're bartering and explaining your position as to God. Look, I noticed you haven't acknowledged me on how great I am today. You know, like, you just don't, and that's just even that thought pattern just puts you in a category of, I don't think you really understand the God that you're talking to, right? And tax collector man seems to get it. Like, I understand, I can put God in a correct perspective, and he's, I mean, from what the human mind and the human language can portray, he's closer. He's closer into the understanding your perspective between an almighty creator God and a humble servant who's loved by that God. And that's a huge difference.
The Pharisee needed like an end of Job smackdown is what he needed. He needed the, you know, do you know where I keep the winds? Do you know how I drew the lines of the ocean? Stuff like that. Whereas, the humble tax collector understood what was going on.
All right. So for a more advanced question, what does humility look like when your culture actually praises humility, where people, you know, try out humble each other and always each other that has pride.
Like what? He's doing like, man, I'm so bad. What saying is true. Reason that we look and say the tax collector is in the right posture versus the Pharisee because he's pointing back to God as opposed to pointing to himself. It works the opposite way as well. If you're in your humility, you're trying to point back to yourself as opposed to just understand your relationship with God rightly. Like, you're committing the same problem the Pharisees committed. It's just the opposite endeavor.
Yeah. You know, the two situations that I think we run into this maybe in modern day culture a lot is a lot of people who participate in like a worship setting, mm-hmm. you know, who are like talented at their instrument, you know, and people will try to say, look at, you know, you did a really nice job playing the piano or the guitar or whatever during the worship set. And they're like, oh no, it wasn't me. It was only God through me. You know, here's the deal. You played the guitar pretty good. You can say thank you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can just go with a thank you and say, you know, whatever the Lord's blessed me if you want to attack that on the end. But like, the truth of the matter is like, it's false humility to act like you had no idea that it went okay.
That same God does not play the guitar that way through me.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Lord knows how to play the guitar. He chose not to have Dan do it very well.
Bummer.
I'm not sure why. Like, that's some distinction I can't make.
And I have a really nice guitar, too.
And here's the thing. Is like, the Holy Spirit has done a lot of awesome stuff in the world. I don't think he's going to be felt like you're tossing shade his way when you're like, no, he didn't play the guitar during that set.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I did. Write scripture, raise Jesus.
I think you get the same reaction too when people and actually I was on this train for a little while, like where the only thing that I thought defined me was the fact that I was sinful and awful, right? Completely ignoring the fact that I'm also loved and redeemed. And like some of that false humility of what God has defined me as, he has defined me rightly as a sinner, as a separated sinner from him, but he has also defined me as a child of his, who is loved in the exact same way. And I think there's a bit of false humility there when you say God's creation is no good being me. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people will walk around and say, to understand yourself in the right perspective of God, you can say that you are worth something in his eyes because he's proven that you are. And sometimes we take the tack that we're dirty, terrible sinners and people, and Jesus is great, which Jesus is great. These are.
A lot of work on me.
Pillion.
Is complete. And my heart is on me still.
You were true.
A bold statement. That's what he did. You know what I'm saying? Like, that seems to be lifting up Enoch. But like, rightfully so. The man followed the Lord for 300 years and he did it solidly.
Yeah.
That's just truth. Yeah. That's what happened.
I'm getting an Enoch poster. I'm telling you.
We all should.
Why would we all do it?
Yeah, I just said I'm.
What are we in
it.
Junior high?
Yes.
Let's all get an Enoch poster.
Hey, everybody, we should all get Enoch tattoos.
Hey, look, I got an Enoch poster and a new set of BKs. Life is worth living.
We all should.
You Mike, should. You should have agreed with me earlier. I'm
Mike,
torn.
I just wanted to have more in common with you, okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I thought you were a generally cool person.
You were wrong about that.
You were getting in on poster, and I'm thinking to myself in my head, what's going to make me more likable? And want more, like, more people to be my friend. And Enoch Poster came up.
I don't know how many friends you think I have, but it's less than you think.
I think you have maybe four.
And there are, most of them are in this room.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
All right, Enoch. Hey, Ben.
Yeah, all right, yeah, yeah, you've been listening to life.
Enoch Poster.
I can't help what you do in life.
We all need one.
Hey, we can't just call it the JC Show. You know what I'm saying? We got to fill it in until the good things come around.
You're a great job.
Somebody do something.
Somebody do something.
All right. So, can I tell you about what happened to me this morning?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So, I wake up. I go out on my balcony and I see just this group of people assembled just out on my lawn, which is funny because I don't actually have a lawn. I live in an apartment, but there's all these people just waiting around my window, and they're just waiting for some kind of word of wisdom or something from me, and I don't know what to come up with. So luckily, God and I had a talk earlier this weekend, and so I just figured I would use whatever it was that God told me about from my life, and I figured maybe it'll impact them. It might meet them where they are. So they're sitting there expecting some kind of advice on a Pope-like level or of a Pope style.
Were you wearing a funny hat?
This sounds a lot like the premise of Pope-style advice.
All right, Pope-style well, Dave.
All right. Well, then I guess I've got Pope style. All right. So there's these people, and they're just waiting. And so I tell them about what God and I had been talking about. So I'm a guy, I like to fix things. I like to look at how things work and tinker with them. And I was taking apart my guitar and trying to get it working this past Saturday night, and it was just not happening. And after about 3 hours of tinkering with it, it was already late at night, and I was tired, and I just wanted to go to sleep. Except that my mind just would not let me go to sleep. It wanted to keep coming up with some kind of plan or scenario or just obsess over the thing. And I just could not let it go. And so I'm like, God, what's going on? And he said, well, you didn't pray. I'm like, whoa, what do you mean I didn't pray? Well, okay, never mind. I know what you mean by I didn't pray, but what kind of prayer? And I had heard years ago someone explain to me prayer, just two kinds of prayers, prayers that you pray at night and prayers that you pray in the morning. So prayers that you pray at night are ones where you are essentially giving God your burdens, your responsibilities, just all the things that are weighing you down throughout the day that you're taking on and saying, hey, these are things that are important. These are things that need to get done. At the end of the day, you have to trust them back to God and give them back to him and say, God, here you go. Here's all the things left undone. I'm going to leave them to you, and I need to get a good night's sleep. Those are night prayers. In the morning, you wake up, and then you say, God, what do you have for me to do today? Those are morning prayers. This is where you pick up your responsibilities. This is where you're checking in with him and saying, all right, what's on today's agenda? What is it that we're going to do? Now, normally we're introduced to kind of following Christ as almost a reactionary sort of thing where here's how Jesus would do things and what would Jesus do type of things, so that we're just going through life situation by situation, just responding in a Jesus way. But that doesn't really leave any kind of instruction in terms of us actually being proactive and going out and accomplishing and moving his kingdom forward. And so that's where these morning prayers come in, is God's helping to set our agenda for the day and say, hey, here's what you're going to do today. Here's what you're going to work on. Here's the things. And what's great about this is that he also sets the scope of it, because then you're not picking up all kinds of other things. You don't have this unending to-do list of things. Instead, it's like, here's the one, two, maybe three things that you're going to get done. And God's going to watch and work with you, and he's going to make sure that you get it done. But this is what's on your plate, and everything else you don't need to worry about. So your plate's not overbooked either. So you've now got room as well to respond to those situations that do arise and things that do come up. So he's setting your agenda in the morning. And then at night, you go back and you say, all right, God, here's where we are. There's some other things that weren't on my plate, but will eventually need to be addressed. I'm just going to hand those over to you. Morning prayers, night prayers. So that's my Pope style for you. Pray.
Hey, I kind of love the sound of this. Actually, I feel like it's just one extra thing that puts me one step closer to having my relationship with God in the right perspective. And so I'm actually kind of excited to try this. Okay. That's not really my style, and I can't say that I've been doing that. And so I'm actually kind of excited to give it a shot.
Why is everyone looking at me? I don't make any money here either.
You're the Segway man.
No, I'm sorry. I'm working on stuff to handle that particular problem.
I'm not sure what's happened, but something has stopped Booba from talking.
Well,
could have been gingivitis.
All right, hold on a second. Here's what we're going to do. You've been listening to Life in the Path. If you are on 99.3, The Truth Network, we've got to let you go. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you want to hear more show, and I can understand if you do, you got to sign up for the podcast. You can go to lifeinthepath.org and sign up for that. Big thanks to our sponsors, Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower Team, eisenhowerteam.com, and Westfield Veterinary Hospital, westfieldvethospital.com. Even if you don't need your pet looked at or you don't need to buy or sell a home, give those guys a call, send them an email, stand outside their window at all hours of the night and say, hey, thank you very much for sponsoring Life in the Path. If you're on the podcast, we'll be right back with you with more from JC. Thanks for listening to Life in the Path. Hear it, and Boo Boo does one of these, and you know he was going to blow hard for a while.
So here's the thing:
it's a Boo Boo. If the Boo Boo breath that says, "I've been pondering and I've not fleshed this out right, but I'm gonna flesh it out here
in front of God and everyone."
90% of my discernment comes from you guys, so whatever.
You should take bigger breaths. Sorry, Boo Boo. We had to hit that commercial break.
No, that's fine.
All right, what were you thinking?
I have difficulty with this. I have a lot of difficulty with this. As I'm growing in my faith and growing in understanding how much I don't know, I have so much trouble with my prayer life. And I've thought on many occasions that, man, I'm doing really good on prayer. God must be super excited to hear from me today. You know, hey God, it's Troy again. What's up, buddy? Like that kind of deal, right? Like that pompous jerk that prays. That's me. Chase could probably attend it. Like, that's true. I don't know if I don't do it often enough. I don't know if I'm being sincere in my prayer. But I don't know what my problem with it is, but I'm going to try it out. Just like Mike said, I think that I'm going to give it a shot for the morning prayers and the night prayers, because I think that I'm just awful at praying. I'm awful at it. You know, I'm very good about talking in regards to my faith, and I'm getting a lot better at it, reading my Bible and stuff like that. But I find myself going days at a time without talking to my Father. And I can feel that gap, but I just don't fill it. For some reason, I can never get myself to just, dude, shut up, sit down and listen for a while, or don't shut up and start talking again kind of deal. So I'm interested to try that and see if, not necessarily more of a structure or anything like that, but more of a guided experience, if you will, on seeing what that'll do for my prayer life. And I'm very interested and very excited about that, because, you know, I've noticed on many occasions that that's a problem with me, and it's something that I'm hoping to bridge at some point in time, because I do want to have that close relationship to be able to just be in open prayer all day with God. So rant over.
Oh no.
I'm like 85% solid on that. You know, most of the time I can just lay stuff down and say, okay, God, it's not my issue, it's yours. And I'm out, I'm gonna go to sleep. But every once in a while, you know, there's those, you're like, okay, let it go, you know, let it go. And sometimes it's hard to.
It's him. He was going to do it.
Which one?
Dan.
What did I do?
Eric was going to do it.
I was going to do what?
I heard an Elsa coming.
Nope. All right. Let it go.
I think you're the only one that's brought it up.
No, I put the stop to it. I could see it in Eric's eyes. He was going to Ice Castle sing it. Okay. All right. Maybe not.
I was just going to rap it. Let it go. Let it go.
What the heck, never. Dan? What was that?
Hey, someone else's shame is not your opportunity to jump in.
Was that your version of a rap?
As close as I get.
Let it go. Let it go.
Or let it go.
Say, I was waiting for him to spit something sweet, man. I'm like, do it. No? Okay, that's all he's got. No. Okay, fair enough.
No, sorry. It sounded like someone stole a picnic basket from a grizzly bear.
What?
Hey, Yogi. Is
that? It's a very calm guy. Oh, let it go. Let it go.
Hey, grizzly bears are not near as reactionary as you think. They're pretty straightforward.
How often do you ponder the reactionary tendencies of a grizzly bear?
Hey, you guys not have been praying often. In the morning. I've been talking to grizzly bears.
I've made mistakes tonight. Assume at all points in time, whatever I'm going to do to offend them, I'm going to get hurt afterwards. So I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about, well, I wonder how they're going to react to this.
I understand. All right.
Dear Life from the Path.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do a couple Dear Life from the Path. We're going to end the show we're going to let JC redeem the last part of it. We go out with some class.
man, this one's kind of heavy. I don't want to do a heavy.
All right.
Do you want to do a heavy?
You saying we're not good enough?
Let's do a heavy.
Okay, we'll do a heavy.
We can handle it.
We'll be the heavies.
All right, dear life from the path. My twin brother is an alcoholic and homeless. He has never held a job. Although we have drifted apart, he still contacts me when he needs money, guilt trips me about not having a place to go, and once even faked a drug overdose to get my attention. I have helped him many times, but he always goes back to his old ways. My heart breaks for him, and the thought of him not having a place to go worries me. I have a family of my own to support and care for. He has shown no gratitude for what I have done to help him, and he insists nobody cares about him. He threatens suicide and won't get help for his alcohol abuse. My fiance refuses to allow me to help him anymore. I feel helpless and exhausted. I'm tired of constantly worrying about him and letting him make me feel guilty for the life he has chosen. Other relatives will have nothing to do with him. He refuses getting professional help. Please tell me what to do. Hey, you want my advice? Morning prayer, night prayer. Tell me that is not the answer.
Give over to God what you couldn't accomplish in the day.
Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Is this on my agenda for today? Like, there's elements of this that, like, I can totally understand. There's some things that he needs to get over, too. Like, I feel helpless and exhausted. I know that feeling. Tired of constantly worrying. I know that feeling. Being upset of the no gratitude. Now you've put yourself in a position that you probably need to step back from. You know what I'm saying? Like, usually when you feel helpless and tired, it's when you double down and say, Lord, if this is where you got me, I need the strength to keep rolling. Because it has to continue.
Right.
Like most folks will take the opportunity to feel beaten down and say, this person just keeps taking advantage of me and ruining me and they don't appreciate my help. And really, your question is not whether you believe that your time is well spent or you're getting a good exchange for your effort. The question is, God, is this where you want me to be? Because right. I can do this for a long time with your help. Without your help, I'm about empty.
Right, right. That feeling and feelings of whoever trying to make him feel guilty, like those are distraction things. Like that's not the core of what we're talking about here, right? Like God have you in there, doesn't he? And whatever the answer to that is basically your work. And you have to trust him. There's a story that a guy that I listened to was telling about. He was in somewhere in Central or South America, and they were going there to try to do some work with sex trafficking for boys. There's a lot of focus on ladies, and over half of the sex trafficking is actually young boys. And so they were there. That might be hair high, but so they were there, and like they got attacked at the airport or whatever. And he was really scared. But one of the things that he came out saying was basically he recognized through that event that he didn't trust God to take care of his family if he were shot. And he said it revealed a hole in my faith, of which I trusted God in all these things and was trying to follow him, but I was scared for my family. Because I realized that I wasn't trusting God to take care of them if I were to be killed. And so, like, there's a little bit of that principle in there. Is like these things that you're facing with your family member are difficult things. They're hard things, and they're things that make your heart hurt, and they bring on anxiety, nervousness, and stuff. But the truth is that, like, if God says, I don't have you in this to the extent that you were thinking or to the extent that the other person wants, like, we have to trust God that he's handling it. It's not like I'm worried because God says I'm not. Like, he's got me doing other things. I'm not in this thing in this full way. If the more I worry about it, the more I'm saying I don't trust God to take care of that situation because he could have you in it. And so, like, that's a very difficult thing because the love and the heart that God's put in you is reaching out and wanting to do something about that circumstance. But, like, if God doesn't have you in it, he doesn't have you in it. Now, the truth is most of the time he will. You're probably the closest person to them. And it falls within kind of the way that God set up a family to work, but you can't take things out of God's hands and expect that you're going to maneuver them the way that you want. We're faithful in the means. You be faithful in the means, and the means that God has laid out in front of you, and you let God handle the ends because that's what God does. And that's hard. That's very hard. We like to prescribe the ends and say, this is how I want this to end up. I want this guy to stop having these thoughts. I want this guy to stop making people nervous. I want him to do all these things, and then I want him to serve Jesus. And that's all I want, and I will do whatever it takes to get to the end. But we've got that jacked up. We're means people. We're faithful in the means, and we let God handle the ends because he's laid out the means. This is what it looks like to live in the kingdom. You do that and let him handle the ends, and then you're at least orienting your life correctly.
Yeah, I think one of the hardest things to do as a believer is to distinguish between when is it time to practice a tough love and just be tough, you know, and when to show a reckless abandoned love, you know, that you're just going to go all out to do whatever is needed. And at what point are you harming the person? And what part are you helping? And that is hard to distinguish at times, I think. And that's where the prayer comes in. I think you've got to keep that relationship with God and say, okay, God, you need that radar up at all times. Where are you leading me in this? Where are you helping me? Because it's obviously a close family relationship going on. You have to get past the guilt and past the emotional strings that are being pulled and focus on, I am turning to God on this, not on you. I'm waiting for my orders, you know?
Go ahead, Mike.
The only thing I was going to say is I find it harder when he says you're out of it. Right? Yeah. Like, if I felt like the Lord was leading me to sell everything I own and, like, act like a crazy fool, I could probably double down on that more than I could, I don't have you in this thing. I need you to back away from it. I find that harder. And I think some of that's my own kingdom kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be the guy that helps. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not acting like that. There's not an element of that, because I think that there is. But, like, I find it a lot harder when I think the Lord says, I need you to back out of this thing. And I'm like, but I'm Mike. You know what I'm saying, Lord?
I feel like I was
in this for you. You know what I'm saying? He's like, I know I need you to get out of it. Seriously, I'm built for this. And he says, no, you're not.
Lord, let me show you my resume.
I need you to get out of this.
Here's what I've got that's going to make me the best situation here.
Yeah, I think it's much harder to back out of that stuff. I have a harder time listening to him when I think he's saying, I need you to back off.
And you know, the things, maybe we got to be careful, because one of the things that we've talked about before, you say, like, if God's got you in this, if he's not got you in this, if you take that too far the other way, we act like God does not have basic descriptions in his word and as his life as an example on how to interact with people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you just stand on the street corner and say, the Holy Spirit hasn't told me to go anywhere, so I just hang on the street corner. We don't end up doing nothing for the kingdom. So, like, that's not – I'm not saying that. What we're saying is that your general circumstances to do what the kingdom has you doing, which he's laid out in Scripture, specific elements of your life, though, that are – that you find in front of you, that you're taking him in prayer, just be prepared that he might pull you out of that and say, I'm handling this in other ways, and it's not you, and you need to be doing something else. And I have, like, remember that thing where I said, you know, feed the widows and the orphans, and like, you're demonstrating the life of Christ to other people. You may do that in other places except in that guy's house at this time, and that may be possible. And so we're not saying pull around and just stand on the street corner and wait till the Holy Spirit blows you around everywhere. Do what he has told you to do scripturally, but just be prepared as you're giving situations to God that he might have you doing something else.
Secular says, the only person who can divert your brother from his self-destructive path is himself. Because your attempts at helping him have all failed, recognize that although he refuses getting professional help, it doesn't mean you shouldn't avail yourself to it. You appear to be a kind, loving, and generous sister who has been taken advantage of for far too long, and it may very well take the help of a mental health professional to help you separate from your twin. Please consider it, because the sooner you do, the sooner you will begin to feel better.
So maybe the thing that I would warn about that, when it comes to kingdom living, we are outrageous forgiveness people. We are sacrifice people, which means that, like, you have to be prepared for the fact that, like, if God has you in it, he might have you in it for another 50 years to an ungrateful person that could really care less. That's possible. It's just possible. But it pulls some of the weight of that off, because it's ultimately not about you, right? Like, if this is what God has, then it's God's to control, just like it would be if something else was going on in your life. And, like, I get that that's difficult, but if you have the wrong perspective on that, that will bury you. You start to resent the person that you're having to forgive and help, and you start to resent God for having put you in that circumstance. And if you see it wrongly, it becomes a very, very heavy weight. And if it's a very, very heavy weight, then it's not God's burden, because when he says, the load I give you is light, and you're carrying something very, very heavy, you have to recognize that it's not likely from God.
Okay. You got time for one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
It's a skinny.
Okay.
Ready? Dear Life from the Path, I am an 11-year-old girl in middle school. There are two boys I like.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is someone I've known for 2 years and is a really good friend. The other boy, I don't know anything about. I like him because he's cute. What I like about the first guy is that he's funny, smart, looks good, and we like the same things. I don't know which to pick. Please help.
What do you mean by pick?
Yeah, has either one of them asked you out?
Just be friends with both.
You like them both.
Hey, man, she seems pretty, I don't know how to put this, but you have to have a pretty high inflated view of yourself to be like, there's two very smutty, funny, smart, good-looking fellas. which one shall I choose? They obviously who's the lucky are going guy?
To one of this two-man harem will date me.
And she's 11, right?
Yeah, 11.
You can choose one, and in 2 weeks, the other one's going to be available.
Actually, all she said about the second guy is he's good-looking. Yeah, the first guy got a lot more accolades.
Yeah, there was a long list of different things about this one dude, and then cute was the other guy.
Yeah.
I was always the good-looking guy. It's rough.
Yeah.
Second choice, Dan. It's Tony Danza.
Wait, this is almost the exact same question we had. What was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
from junior high Dan, who says I only date for marriage.
Yeah,
it's neither.
Who cares if I'm good looking? You gonna marry me?
Sweetheart, I'm not gonna go to that dance with you.
I don't have time.
No, we're not gonna get married because
he's funny, smart, looks good, and we like the same things.
And then other guy's just cute.
The other guy's just Tony Danza. I mean, what the heck?
I feel like you have a clear decision on this one. Yeah. You have a lot of adjectives on one. And then one that the other guy already had on the other one.
Jason, you've been an 11-year-old girl. What are your thoughts on the matter?
Yeah, well.
Yeah, you're right, I have. Why don't you guys shut up?
No, what I would say is, I mean, she's 11 years old. Really, you shouldn't be focusing on dating right
Preach
now.
It. Hear.
Preach it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I have never really dated, and I'm 20. And, you know, you have plenty of time to date guys. And you should be focusing on your relationship with God, for one. But just focus on having fun in school and having fun with your friends. You shouldn't be worrying about which guy to date. Because, honestly, I mean, it's not going to last. A middle school relationship's not going to last. So, I mean, I would just say skip the guys and go hang out with your friends.
Yeah, there you go.
What if one of them looks like Tony Danza, though?
If there's an 11-year-old boy that looks like Tony Danza, I really don't think any 11-year-old girl was like, hey,
TV, 80s TV star, what's up?
Hey, 55-year-old guy, how you doing?
You remind me of my grandpa.
Hey, here's the deal, though. There might have been some lady who's now 55 kicking herself because she had a shot with Tony Danza at 11
and she turned went it down. The funny guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so our advice is, no dating. Don't date the man. Just go have fun with your lady friends.
Be friends, yeah.
Yeah, no reason to go after these fellas. Here's Secular's advice. At 11, you don't have to pick either one. Enjoy both for what they have to offer, and in time, you won't have to ask anyone else to decide for you. In fact, you may even find a third someone who offers the same qualities you like in both of these boys in one package, and who likes you back.
Here's the deal. I feel like that advice stretched out over, say, another 10 years. You have a very dangerous woman on your hands.
Yeah.
Just take whatever you want from
them. Yeah. Here's the deal. Can you two people just meld together? Because I don't like parts of you at all. Parts of you I don't like at all.
I'll take Tony on Tuesday and Danza on Wednesday. Oh, shoot. I Sabbath on Wednesday. I'm a Pluto Episcopalian.
You know Wednesday's our Sabbath.
do you got one more?
Yeah, that's what we can squeeze one
okay,
more.
Okay, let's do one more.
Okay. What? Oh, man, that guy's we're going to lambast that man. We can't read that one. There's one guy that's not treating a lady right. He's like, oh, he's come over to my house all the time and whatever. You guys are going to hate that dude. There's no way.
Yeah, he's a gorilla.
Okay. Dear Life from the Path, my wife, parentheses Tina, was very hurt by a friend recently. Her friend, parentheses Sally, called her, parentheses cheap, during a conversation like this, in quotes, she's cheap like you. Sally didn't intend to be hurtful, just an illustration, but my wife is very upset about it. We use coupons when we grocery shop or dine out. We also watch our thermostats and recycle. On the other hand, we have sent our children to university without loans, our mortgages paid off, we traveled extensively, and our net worth is north of $1 million with no debt. How do I make Tina realize that Sally's comment should not upset her so?
Wow. Here's the deal. Where do you have to go to find value in your life? You like, based upon the things that you're talking about, you seem to be doing quite well. And you're seeking advice because a friend of yours called you cheap.
Yeah.
Like, are you cheap?
Yeah.
If the answer is yes, then say, yes, I am. If the answer is not, say, excuse me, you're incorrect.
You do yes, not I am. Me. Let's compare bank accounts.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah. Actually, this is funny because I have this conversation with my kids all the time. They will come home and say, so-and-so said I was weird. And I said, are you weird? Well, yeah, a little bit. I said, well, they were right. I said, don't be mad about it. Love it.
I'm curious. JC, you've been to Tijuana. What do you think the folks down there would give as far as advice to someone who gives a response like this?
Well, there's nothing wrong with being frugal, for one. I think it's a great thing. But, I mean, like, in Tijuana, like, it's really more about people down there. So, like, everything is revolves around family and friends, and that's really what they focus on. And, like, even, like, if you go to an orphanage, like, kids, you know, if you bring them a toy, they'll be like, oh, that's cool, you know, play with it for a little bit. But they'll be off, you know, playing with rocks and stuff. And so it's, like, money and that stuff, like, it doesn't, it's not as a big a deal to them, really. It's about the people around them and the interactions and just, like, loving on each other. That's the main thing down there. And so, you know, being cheap's okay. I mean, as long as you're loving your friends and family, it's cool.
So it sounds like paradise.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
A side of Tijuana rarely seen on the news. Does anybody else have any advice? How do you keep the wife from being offended?
So I would tell her to give it up.
Yeah.
Just give it up. This is nothing to be offended about. If it's true, embrace that. And notice your friend is not trying to hurt your feelings. That's all the way. Yeah, like if that wasn't the intention and you both know that and you're still holding on to it, like, you're just doing that for your own vengeance. It's completely unnecessary.
You're cheap with forgiveness as well.
Yeah. If it's not true, say, Tina, I'm not cheap. Thank you.
Yeah, just...
let's hook it out.
Yeah, actually, just realize that you're not cheap and then forgive her for her comment. No big deal.
Your happiness and good feelings don't need to come from the fact that your friend thinks you're rich. That makes no sense. Your wife needs to just realize, hey, it's not a big deal.
I mean, people don't like to be misunderstood, right? But, like, that's the nature of having friends.
Right. Yeah.
Is to say, hey, I don't think you understand that correctly about me.
Yeah.
Let's talk it through.
This gal fully understands and is able to call upon, you know, quite a few examples of how she's not cheap. So she is completely understanding that, yes, I'm not cheap, or, you know, I'm good with money and I have a lot of money, blah, 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 however you want to say it. The only thing that's getting at her is the fact that someone else doesn't realize that or thinks badly about her. That's the only thing this is stemming from.
I mean, you can attempt to deal and, again, to be a truth dealer here and but not just invest so much in it about your character.
Yeah.
You want to say, actually, I wouldn't have worded it that way, friend. I do think I do well with my money.
I've had a lot of people call me handsome. Now, I don't really feel...
Mike, wherever this is going, you need to stop it. Because
Secular
we
says...
We need to start with truth. We've been talking about being truth tellers the entire time, man. Come on.
Secular says, Mike is handsome.
Notice
well,
how
that was out of left field. I don't know.
Notice how that was secular, and they're the ones who always say, hey, you should go to counseling.
Secular says, what happened was unfortunate because the problem may be that Sally simply chose the wrong word. What she probably meant was that your wife is frugal. The difference between frugal and cheap is that being frugal is a virtue. Because Sally hurt your wife's feelings, Tina needs to tell her how it made her feel so Sally can apologize to her before it causes a permanent rift. Actually, that sounds exactly how I deal with my kids as well. Yeah, listen, you've done bad. You need to go apologize to so-and-so and then offer up a hug. I don't care whether you mean it or not. You're going to do it because I'm your father.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right, Mike.
Yeah. And then I impose discipline.
Do things because I tell you to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And also Mike's handsome.
And also Mike's handsome.
Hey, man, Dan Silk's coming after you. He doesn't like your ways.
Hey, here's the deal. I don't really do that. I've jumped on the Dan Silk bandwagon, and it's pretty solid. I'm pretty happy with it so far.
So there was a question, a quick question on the chat. It had to do with something Boo was talking about when it comes to your prayer life. So he said, I can go days without talking to my father, my heavenly father. And the chat's response was, well, I don't talk to my earthly father that often, and I don't seem to mourn that fact. So
what's the difference?
Yeah.
The fundamental quality of heaven is people who are in line with God's will. I mean, if that's where you want to go, you want to be in God's presence, then why wouldn't you want to be in God's presence on earth? I mean, you're not going to – it'll be better, but it's ultimately just more and more a reflection of God. So if you're avoiding God, then what's the point? Why would you even want to go to heaven?
So I think that does bring back to the understanding, say, to see prayer rightly, right, as if it's it simply is an opportunity you have to interact with God. Mm-hmm. And if someone were to say, hey, I'm going to present you at any time during the day an ability to interact with God, and whether you take that or not. And so, like, you see it differently than, oh, I'm supposed to do this, and I'm supposed to check in with him and say, hey, just checking in, God, still alive, love, Ben. Like, that's not the point. The point is that, like, if you understand who God is, as you understand his character, and you say, look, I mourn the fact that I didn't pray because I went periods of time when I had the opportunity to interact with God and I didn't. It just speaks to something in prioritization in my life. And frankly, I got distracted from what is positive and good. That's usually what it means. It's not necessarily that God's upset because you didn't check in. It's just like you had that opportunity to interact with God. I miss it when I don't take it.
I realize that I rely on my Heavenly Father to do things like breathing. You know, I need God in my life. I absolutely need God's presence to be in any way fruitful for him, to be in any way a functioning member of his kingdom. I have to have his presence there. I feel when I don't have that presence there. I don't feel that way about my earthly father. Yeah. I don't need my dad with me at all points in time for me to be able to count on my next breath happening. But I do need my Heavenly Father for that. You know, it comes down to the difference in connectedness between my earthly father and my heavenly father. I haven't talked to my dad in years, and I'm okay with that. My heavenly father, though, I rely on him for everything. And I feel that lack of presence, and I'm fueled by his presence. And I find that my life, I have more joy, I have more fruits, I have more all-around general good adjective that you want to throw out here when I am in constant connectedness with my Heavenly Father. And that's why I see a problem with going multiple days without talking to him and having that relationship with him where I can speak on a daily basis. You know, I can feel the gap, and I don't want that to be there.
Gotcha. All right, let's end the show with some whiz bang here. So we've been talking to JC. Make sure, again, you can find out more from her if you find her Facebook page, and you can follow her on Twitter and also her website, jcofficial.com. And the Facebook and Twitter are good options. Facebook's a really good option to kind of keep up with what's going on in her life. So tell me about this last song, Proud Man.
Well, this song's just kind of about, you know, all the different choices that we have in life to make. And, you know, at the end of your life, are you going to be proud of those choices? So that's kind of premise for it.
All right, cool. Well, we're gonna let the show head out with this. A big thanks to JC for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
It was awesome. And we're gonna let her carry out the show. You've been listening to Live from the Path. This is JC.
You can walk away from it all, or you can stay and hope it doesn't fall. There are choices that need to be made, and it's those choices that show us if we'll break. So stay and see who you're gonna be. Just stay and see if all the things you choose will make you a man you're proud to be. If you choose to walk away from it all, then you can watch as everything falls. If you ignore the choices in your face, then you can watch yourself shatter, yourself break. So stay and see who you're gonna be. Just stay and see if all the things you choose will make you a man you're proud to be. And life can be tough when all that you are is weighing on one thing. Life can get hard. There's so many choices that need to be made. You're trying just to bend and not break. You want to be something bigger than they thought. The whole world is out there asking for a lot. You got nothing to lose, got so much to gain. What's the point of this life if you waste it away? So stay and see who you're gonna be. Just stay and see if all the things you choose will make you a man you're proud to be.